It's a Thursday. It's the morning. It's Taz the Moose right here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Thank you, Billy. That is your number to call. You've got Mike and Billy across the way. Andrew with your updates, bogus that is. Till 9 a.m. Eastern time we go. Next 3 hours of sports talk with you. Other things, too. As we keep it going, make sure to follow us up on Twitter and Instagram, at official Taz, at Mark Belusis, at Taz of the Moose. Three ways you can get in touch with the show over the course of the next 3 hours and throughout the course of the day. What's going on, brother? How are you?
Oh, Moose, outstanding, grand, spectacular, and, you know, looking for another great Taz and a Moose episode live, Jones, we're doing. Got a great guest later on, Moose, as you know, London Fletcher, to keep our linebacker theme going.
No doubt. Undersized linebacker was really productive.
Yes. How many linebackers this week? Do we have three?
I think so, yeah.
Three. I think it's great.
This is our third and fourth.
I think it's great.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow we'll, who knows what linebacker we're talking
about. Can we reach out to Jack Lambert?
Yeah, right.
My favorite linebacker ever. What do you think?
Yeah,
we find Jack in the Steel City?
Well, that's
Mike will find him. He's like, let me see.
Oh, you can find him. He'll find him for you, Taz. You know that about it. And we got a lot to get into, a myriad of different topics to touch upon. Taz mentioned London Fletcher. A great linebacker for a number of different teams, including the Washington Redskins, will join us a little later on in the program. But we begin with the football theme, Taz, and that is the Antonio Brown saga does continue. Was that practice yesterday for the first time for the New England Patriots and signing that deal on Monday? The $10 million guaranteed can make $5 million in bonuses. Has got other incentives in that deal as well. But wearing number one, not 84, which right now belongs to Ben Watson, who's serving that suspension, who I saw him on Fox the other day, did Ben Watson, really? Talking about the very fact of would he give up number 84 to Antonio Brown. Didn't really give you much of an answer. I'm sure he'd want something.
Well, that's usually a no.
Nope.
Well, that's exactly right. So Antonio Brown was at practice yesterday. Before practice, Bill Belichick, about 20 hours ago, met with the media. Here's a little bit of a clip. Take a listen.
On Antonio's situation, both Antonio and his representatives have made statements. And so I'm not going to be expanding on any of those. They are what they are. We've looked into the situation. We're taking it very seriously all the way through the organization. I'm sure there are questions, but... I'm not going to be entering into a discussion about that today. So we're at.
Bill, were you aware of the lawsuit when you signed Antonio Brown?
I'm not going to be expanding on the statements that have already been given.
Don't you think the fans deserve to hear a little more from you on
when we know
such
more,
a major
we'll say
development
more.
That could impact the team?
Yeah, I just said that.
Don't you think fans deserve to hear a little bit more?
When we know more, we'll say more.
Are you preparing to have Antonio Brown in practice today?
Yes.
And are you preparing for him to play on Sunday?
We're taking it one day at a time.
Can you tell us at all what Antonio Brown has said to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm done with that. Okay. Anything else on Miami? Any other questions?
Can you explain what you mean when you're done with it? I mean, we're just trying to find out if he said anything to you about his position and about the allegations.
Yeah, and I just answered that question.
Well, actually, you did.
Actually, I did.
That was funny.
Okay.
That was funny. That part was funny.
And the questions that were being asked of him should be asked, and the reporters were doing their job. Taz and Bill Belichick didn't answer the question in terms of what they knew when they knew it. I don't think we debated about it yesterday, Taz, when we kicked off the program. I don't think the Patriots had any idea that this was coming down. I don't. That's my read. That's my lean. You know, I'm curious what your thoughts are, Taz. I don't personally believe that they were going to give him $10 million guaranteed. The addition of a possibility of making around $15 million this year if they believed a civil sexual assault lawsuit was coming down the next day.
Yeah. I don't think they knew either, okay? But just Belichick right there in that press conference from yesterday, I got to tell you, we have a lot of fun talking about Bill Belichick and his short answers and all that stuff and his very dry attitude. It's funny at times, for sure. With the media, he's got this strained relationship with the media up there and all that stuff. I got to tell you, this is not the time for that. And those reporters, the questions that were asked and saying, don't you think fans deserve some kind of something, an explanation of something more than what you're just saying, because he said nothing, Belichick, like he always does. They're right. Those reporters are right. This Moose, you got to say more than this.
I don't disagree with you.
Because he's more than a head coach there. Let's be honest. You know?
Taz, I don't
say more.
I don't disagree with you at all. But you know, is Belichick not in those answers banking on the fact of, well, if they win, are the fans ultimately going to care?
Well, in the long game, no, they won't. To the point you just made, if they do win, I don't think
Antonio Brown catches two touchdown passes on Sunday, say he plays against the Miami Dolphins, and they're taking it a day at a time, but say everything goes well, and you know he's up to speed with everything, and I'm sure they're planning on him to play. I mean, he gets a bonus for every game that he does play, so I'm sure Antonio Brown does want to play on Sunday, Taz. Do you think, you know, would that be, if he goes out and catches, you know, two touchdowns, do you think Patriot fans are celebrating? I think Bill Belichick's probably banking on the fact that Patriot fans are going to celebrate and they're not going to think about the civil lawsuit that's facing Antonio Brown.
I agree with all that. You're right. But the thing is, though, and I'm pretty sure you agree with this, like, you have a responsibility.
Don't disagree.
In that role you're in as the greatest NFL coach of all time, you are more than just a head coach there. Okay, you're ultra winning coach, and you're all this stuff, and you're the guru of football, and you are a massive front man in the best football organization in modern day history. Okay, in the NFL, you got to say more. This story about Antonio Brown, as we talked about, it's been Antonio Brown has been everywhere,
from
his Raiders stuff and this and that, and now the rape allegations, all that, and like you covered, we talked about yesterday, it was on all these mainstream
news stations.
Political
news stations, CNN, MSNBC. I mean, it was all over the place. It was on mainstream news. I mean, ABC, NBC. Right, exactly. CNN, I mean, it was all over the place. This was not just a sports story.
Mm-hmm, right.
This is not something that is just on the, you know, the 6 o'clock Sports Center or whatever you might be, you know, wherever you're getting your sports or hopping online, Taz. It was absolutely all over the place. Taz, I don't disagree with you. I you know, you'd want to hear more from Bill Belichick yesterday, more of an explanation, you know, more of a case of, but if he comes out and answers that question and says, we knew, well then, if you knew that Antonio Brown was, this civil lawsuit was coming down, how exactly did, as an organization then, you know, still sign him? How does an organization owned by Robert Kraft, who had that embarrassing situation last January, right? Strip mall and all, right? The massage parlor and the like. You know, how exactly do you sign Antonio Brown? Okay. Then if he answers it, Taz, well, we didn't know. Wait a second. How do the New England Patriots then not do their due diligence on Antonio Brown before they sign him, knowing everything that potential, you know, just making sure that nothing is going to surprise you or hit you after you sign him? You know, like we mentioned yesterday, Taz, it's a no-win situation for Belichick.
Right.
Because if they admit they knew, they're basically telling you they don't care.
That's right.
They could care less.
No, you hit that yesterday, and you were 1,000% correct.
And if he admits that we didn't know, well, then they didn't do their due diligence, and now they have to deal with the embarrassment of dealing with a distraction that they had no idea that this distraction was coming down.
Right. They're damned if they do, damned if they don't, and they put themselves in that position, right?
No doubt.
The Patriots. Yeah, and I think that's a massive part of the reason why Belichick doesn't want to, and he's doing his typical, we're on to Miami, we're on to whatever, what was the other team? We're on to Cincinnati, the famous drop, whatever, Cincinnati, remember he...
Yes, I remember,
whatever
yeah.
team
I think
it was Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
So it's like, you know what, I mean, you know, now's not the time to do that if you're Bill Belichick. I'm not saying the guy's got to go give a long diatribe on this whole thing, but you got to give people more. Those guys in the media, those guys and girls in the media that were in that presser, they did their job. And you know me, I'm not usually advocating for a lot of the media guys, you know. But in that case there, they did their job. Belichick didn't. You're not just an X's and O's guy. Let's be honest. You're making millions of dollars, Belichick. And I like Belichick. Even though I hate the Raiders, I respect the hell out of him. I do. A football mind and all that jazz and his career and everything he did with the Giants as a DC and all this stuff. No doubt. I respect the hell out of him. I mean, I think he's an amazing coach, amazing leader. But you have an obligation. You're not just an X's and O's guy. You're a huge part of the success of that organization behind the scenes. He could just act like him with his cut-off sweatshirt and that he's a grinding, blue-collar football coach with a whistle around his neck. My ass. Okay, you're a lot more than that, dude. How much money does he make? How many millions a year?
He's got to be making $7, $8 million a year,
yeah,
if not more.
I would think even maybe more, right? Whatever. But,
yeah,
You are obligated to say more. You have to do that. Just disappointing.
Just kind of going through it here, Taz. The way that I think he probably could have answered it was that in this country you're innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
We were aware that there was a potential of a situation coming his way. We were willing. There's language. If you hop online, Albert Breer basically highlights the language in the contract, where Antonio Brown's money becomes null and void. If, as we said yesterday, the Patriots protected themselves, as all organizations did, they did in the Antonio Brown saga. So in this one-year deal. So, he's due a $5 million bonus, I believe, September 23rd. The next $5 million bonus, Taz, he's due in early January. So the Patriots did protect themselves. Here's the one thing. He could have answered it this way. We were aware that there was a possibility of an incoming lawsuit. In this country, you're innocent until proven guilty. We'll see how the lawsuit does play out. He has every right to play football until basically that court case plays out civilly.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a way that he could have answered it to where he didn't add more speculation or fuel to the fire, or act the way that he did yesterday, kind of cold and indignant to the media as they were doing their job.
Yeah,
and if he does that, he's not getting the 8 million questions over and over and over again, because he's answering everything that the media is asking.
I agree with you, and it's really that simple to do. It's coach speak at the end of the day. He knows how to do that. It's business. Listen, and even it's simple to also add to everything you just said and say, we spoke to Antonio, we're investigating it, we're looking at the whole thing, we understand, we spoke to him. If you did speak to him, I got a feeling, I tell you the truth, I feel like Bill Belichick did not even have a conversation with Antonio Brown about these allegations and about this. I really believe he did.
You might be right about you're probably right about that.
I mean,
he might have spoke about, they might have talked to Rosenhaus about it, but did they talk to Antonio Brown about it? Probably not.
Belichick. I could picture him not talking to anybody about it except somebody in the Raiders front office, one of the Raiders brass. I'm sorry, Patriots. I keep saying Raiders. And one of the Patriots front office brass would probably tell Belichick privately.
Yeah.
I don't see him, meaning Belichick, talking to Rosenhaus. That's just my opinion. But who knows? I mean, I don't know the truth.
Taz, you could be right. Yesterday, you might be right, because Belichick might be just focused on football. How about Tom Brady, right, who took a selfie with Antonio Brown?
Right.
Also, before that, basically invited Antonio Brown because of the great travel West Coast to East Coast in 2019.
So amazingly hard to do.
Right, stagecoach and all. that he said he invited him to stay at his chalet up in the greater New England area.
Yes.
Here is Tom Brady talking about the Antonio Brown situation yesterday.
I'm just trying to show up and play football and try to prepare. Miami's a good team. I'm going to get ready for them.
Are they a good team? Really, Tom?
Things that don't involve me. Don't involve me.
Right, Miami's a good team. That's what stopped me in my tracks. I'm like, wait a minute. What?
Right, Miami's
a good team.
Yeah, as the Patriots, I mean, they might be a 20-point favorite right now. They were 19 2 days ago. They might be up to 20. But here would be the follow-up to Tom Brady. Well, hold on a second. You didn't make it just about football when you brought him aboard.
Right.
You made it more about than just football. It wasn't about the X's and O's. It was a case of trying to bond with Antonio Brown, kind of take him out under your wing a little bit. And the Patriots might have asked him to do so to try and help get Antonio Brown to buy in. I mean, I know he's asked a number of guys in the past to go out there and live with him. That's the reports up there in Beantown, Taz. So, I mean, this is kind of customary with Tom Brady, and he built up a great relationship with Josh Gordon as Gordon was going through his stuff with marijuana and drugs and facing another suspension a year ago. But Brady made it more about football with the way that he acted when they signed him, when they brought him aboard. Did he not?
Oh, yes, he did. Yeah, yes, he definitely did. And now it's backtrack Jones. I mean, that's what's happening. I mean, listen, I don't I don't know. I mean, I think there's still more stuff that has to be flushed out. As everybody knows, this is just the beginning of it. I mean, Antonio Brown, through Rosenhaus, through his agent, saying he's denying all of this and the truth's going to come out.
His lawyer came out, right. And Taz, there's going to be more to it. Now the question is, does the NFL act? The Patriots clearly are not going to act.
No,
right?
They're not.
The Patriots are not going to act. Their plan is for Antonio Brown to play Sunday.
Correct.
As long as everything goes well, he practiced went well yesterday. As long as he continues, you know, and doesn't get hurt today, tomorrow, Saturday, walkthrough, I imagine you know you're going to see Antonio Brown line up and play for the New England Patriots on Sunday. Now, does the commissioner's office, does the NFL act? Because there is a way. There were reports out there that the commissioner's office is leaning. Or they're giving, I should say, giving serious consideration to placing Antonio Brown on the exempt list.
Yeah.
You know, and to where he could not play for the New England Patriots.
On an accusation.
Correct.
Yeah, and that, honestly, that's tough. I mean, I think you got, and it's a tough conversation, and I believe Brittany Taylor, the young lady accusing all of these things of the New England Patriots, you know, receiver.
She's going to be with the NFL next week.
Correct. That's right. I was just going to say that. So, you know.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's all good. No. So, the thing is, if you're going to put somebody on the exempt list for an accusation, that's, you know, this is a civil lawsuit. It's not a criminal lawsuit. You know what I mean? It's like a little bit of a tough
thing. I don't disagree with you. I think Antonio Brown, as big of a clown as he is, was out in Oakland, Taz.
Yeah.
I don't think you can suspend or place him on the exempt list based on an accusation.
I agree with that. You have to wait till
it plays out. Now, if it plays out and he's proven guilty in this civil case,
Antonio Brown's
not going to be playing in the NFL.
Right, I mean, absolutely.
That's it. But we are a ways away from that. Anyone can be accused of anything. Doesn't mean that they're guilty of anything. Even as bad of a guy, you might not want to hang out with Antonio Brown. You can't come in, you know, to go from being a bad guy to a rapist is a massive leap. So, I don't think they might be thinking about it, Taz. I don't think you can do that to Antonio Brown based on just someone accusing him of doing something.
I think it's wrong if you do that. I just want to say one more thing, just to backtrack real quick before we get to the phones. I know it's very busy. 855-212-4227. Talk about Antonio Brown and these allegations and how Bill Belichick and the Patriots handled it, talking about it, which they're really not. And we talked a lot yesterday about this. Did the Patriots know? We talked a little bit a few minutes ago about this. Did they know? Did they not know? They're damned if they do. They're damned if they don't. We went over this yesterday and today. Here's the thing. We don't have the audio of it. We can't play it. But Rosenhaus, I heard him from his comments, okay, which was on ESPN, basically saying, I'm going to paraphrase it, you know, Antonio and I knew this was coming down eventually, something like that. They alluded to the fact that they knew. You know what I'm talking about. Yep. I'm sure you read or heard this. Dude, if they knew this was going to happen, you're telling me Rosenhaus or somebody didn't say something to the Patriots?
I don't know.
They might not have, I mean, but knew it was Antonio Brown knew because of the relationship he had with this young lady. You know.
I'm sure there were conversations between lawyers before the civil lawsuit actually came down.
Right. So for Rosenhaus to say that publicly, I wonder if he meant to really say. I wonder if he regrets saying that. I mean, he's a pretty look. He's been representing athletes at the highest level, making millions for 25 years or something like that. You know, this guy is very smart, quick thinker. You know what I mean? He knows how to speak. He's a smart guy, Rosenhaus. But, dude, I got a feeling he might have, I don't want to say slipped up. He probably didn't want to say that.
He might not want to have said it, Taz. Do you think he told the Pats? If you had a venture against
right now.
You do.
I'll tell you why I do.
I don't know.
No, let me tell you why.
Let me hear.
Because I feel Rosenhaus is not going to get to the level he has in his life and his career and make the money he's made and have the relationship he has with teams like he does by withholding important information with a guy who's a very, who's a lightning rod, who just came off this insane amount of attention with the Oakland Raiders and all these issues from the helmet to the feet, wanting to punch Mike Mayock, dropping the audio of John Gruden. That's why I don't think that a guy as credible as Rosenhaus would be dumb enough not to tell the team who's going to give this guy a chance in the Pats and give him, you know, $7 million, whatever the hell it is, $15 million guaranteed, whatever, not guaranteed, $7 million guaranteed, whatever the deal is.
$10 million.
I don't think that Rosenhaus would withhold that information. Again, I don't know. You asked me my opinion. What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, so I don't. See, I think there's a number of different ways you can look at it. I get what you're saying, Taz, but I could maybe also think that that was something that was in their back of their mind because maybe they were trying to reach a settlement. Maybe they were trying to make it go away. Maybe it was a case of...
That could be.
I mean, and all of a sudden then they reached a point where it wasn't going away and the civil lawsuit comes down, but they weren't expecting it to come out the way that it did. I mean, there's so many different kind of avenues and paths that you could look at it with that scenario. See, I have a hard time. You brought up the point yesterday with Kraft. Don't you have a hard time thinking, you know, Robert Kraft's team, after what he went through in the offseason and after some of the public backlash that he faced after that, right?
Mm.
That he would approve a guy coming in and giving him $10 million guaranteed that's facing a sexual assault civil lawsuit?
I don't. Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't
see. That's why.
That's why it's tough to.
That's why I think I don't think they knew. I don't know. You know what, Taz? Because I don't want
to contradict myself from yesterday. I'm just trying to.
No, I know.
There's a lot missing here.
No, you're right. There is, and that's the fascinating aspect. And maybe we'll never know. Maybe we'll never know in terms of what they knew when they knew it. But you're right. Rosenhaus did come out and say that. Basically, they knew that this was going to come down.
Right.
They were hopeful that it wasn't, but they thought at some point in time this was going to come down.
Yeah. Just paraphrasing it. He basically, Rosenhaus, he alluded to, for those that didn't hear it, basically saying, me and Antonio Brown, you know, basically saying when we weren't shocked about this. So they knew that something was going to happen. To your point, Moose, maybe there was something with lawyers and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you're right about Rosenhaus. He's done a lot of business with the New England Patriots and other organizations. You would think you want to be open and honest with teams out there as well, because that could affect his dealings with other clients, with other teams across the National Football League as well, not just dealing with Antonio Brown. Want to hear from you, 855-212-4227. If you're online, stay online, stay on hold. We'll get to you next. We'll go to the busy phones. Do you think the Patriots knew? Do you think they didn't know? Do you like the way Belichick handled the presser yesterday? Would you want Antonio Brown representing your team? 855-212-4227. Taz Moose, Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. On this Thursday morning, it is Taz and the Moose with you. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
You know, Moose, we were talking a lot about Bill Belichick and the Raiders and how the press conference went when members of the media were asking him about Antonio Brown, the whole situation, how early goings here, how the Patriots are handling that whole situation to the public. Yep. Let's go out to New Jersey. Talk to our friend John. Listen on radio.com.
He is John. He is John. He is John from Jersey.
Oh, my God, John.
Johnny, what's up, buddy?
Don't you fell off the place, the face of the earth? What happened? You've been gone, dude.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's going on?
I've been going through a few family things. But
okay. Well, I hope everything works out.
All is well, brother.
All right.
How you guys been? Okay.
Good. Bad. Fair to Midland. Yeah, we're great. Everything's awesome. Yeah. So.
Hey, look, about Antonio Brown. I mean, look, I never wanted this guy on the Patriots. I think he's a clown.
Right.
But now that he's here, you deal with it. I don't have a problem as a Patriot fan with how Belichick handled that yesterday, because as you touched on a bit, what is he gonna say? You know, people forget about, I don't know how many years back, Moose, when we signed Albert Haynesworth from the Redskins.
Yeah, was that 2011?
Yeah, he had a sexual assault allegation against him. And Belichick, in the press conference when they signed Haynesworth, said, well, you know, everybody, you know, nobody in this room hasn't made mistakes in their life, and, you know, we give them a second chance, and we'll go from here. And he got crucified for saying that. So what's he going to – now, when Antonio Brown multiplied by 55, all the media and all and out of social media and everything that's involved, if you comment on it once, they're going to keep asking it. So I think you shut it down like he did. You do exactly what he did, and you go from there. And I also think, like as you said, there isn't a doubt in my mind the Patriots knew.
Right.
And when I say knew, I think Rosenhaus told them. Rosenhaus, again, represented Gronk, as other players on the Patriots. I think he probably said to them, look, this is just so you know, da-da-da-da-da-da, this is what could be coming down.
Right.
Who knows if they possibly showed the Patriots evidence that they have that this is a farce. I don't know.
Right.
Who knows?
That's true. Yeah, that could have happened. That's a good point. You know,
so, again, I believe that they knew. Again, I'm not thrilled that we have Antonio Brown, but, again, it's an accusation. If this was a situation where it was a Ray Rice video, there's no way the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. Fire. No, I know that. Moose knows that. We were talking about that. But here's the thing, just to back up a little bit, John. I got that. Belichick is obligated. Like, he's obligated to say more than he said. He's got to go a little further in that press conference. He can't do the typical dry-ass Jones. He just can't do it.
Why do you say that?
Well, I explained it in the first segment, dude, and I'll say it again. Yeah. It's like your obligation. You're not just some new head coach. It's not Flores, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, where he's new in town or he's a young guy who's not established as a head coach. This is Bill frickin' Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, and he's the head cheese, and he's not just the head coach. He's involved with massive amount of football operations, a quasi-general manager there. He needs to say a little bit more than the typical you know, snarky, quick, dry response that we will find that we giggle about. This is not a giggable topic, though. He's got to be a little bit.
What would you want him to say?
Moose laid it out. I think Moose laid it out earlier in the first segment. Actually, did a great job of what Belichick should have said. You know,
well, you could. I mean, you don't have to give the whole thing. We all make mistakes. Like, and I don't remember that from Haynesworth. That's a good job by you, John. But he could have basically just said, you know, he's innocent until proven guilty. We are aware of the potential charges. We are comfortable with moving forward with the contract, and it is, and you know, until that plays out legally,
right?
He does, you know, we feel comfortable him playing football for the New England Patriots. I mean,
and again, you know, if he said that, though, there'd be 30 other questions about. Wait a minute, so you're actually bringing a guy in your organization that you knew possibly committed sexual assault?
Well, but then, there's also the chance he didn't, that he's being falsely accused.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, so, and there have been a lot of people, and I'm not telling you he is or he isn't, but there have been a lot of people that have been falsely accused of doing something, unfortunately, and some of those men and women have been convicted or in prison. So, Antonio Brown, listen, I would never want Antonio Brown on my team. I would never want to sign, but I understand where the Patriots are coming from, and I understand Antonio Brown's rights, because if he's being falsely accused of something, And should he have everything taken away from him if he did nothing wrong?
No, true. And unfortunately, because of the circus that's around him, he probably isn't going to get the benefit of the doubt. Even with me, I look at it and I lean toward he's probably, I mean, I'm sure like anything else, the truth is somewhere in the middle. I'm sure that he knew this woman. I'm sure something happened. Who knows exactly what happened? But because of the clown that he is, again, people just look at it.
Well, to your point, let me interrupt you, John. People are passing judgment on him, which is unfair. I mean, and I saw the tweet, the text that he sent her, and I understand that. We don't know the truth. So people already have him, you know, guilty, a lot of people, which I think you got to let it play out. He did have some sort of a relationship with this girl from 2017 to 2018. They went to college together, and then, you know, who knows if they had a sexual relationship, what kind of relationship. She says it wasn't. He's kind of alluding to the fact that it was. So, you know, and they're claiming that the truth will come out or whatever. So, I don't know. I just think Belichick, back to him real quick, he should have. And, John, we appreciate the call, dude. Good hearing from you. I hope everything works out with you. But here's the thing. I do feel that Belichick, like I said, Moose, I feel like he was obligated to say a little bit more as the position that he's in, just a little bit more. And I think he hit a lot of the points that Belichick could have said. I mean, really, it's just a little more.
Yeah, I think he could have, because he could have answered the question. People want to know if they knew. I mean, that's ultimately what the case is, and, you know, they want to know, if you knew, then why would you want to bring this sort of distraction? At the end of it, Taz, it's something the Patriots want to They don't want distractions. No NFL team wants distractions. You think Bill Belichick wants to go to the podium yesterday?
No, of course, right.
And addressing a civil lawsuit of what they knew about for a player that's been basically part of their organization for 72 hours?
This is exactly what we talked about. And it's already happening to Belichick. Yeah. Already. He's going into play into week two. There's already a problem. Speaking of problems.
What's going on, Andrew?
Wow.
Exactly.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, yeah, great morning. It's good to see you guys.
So now what happened?
And here I was, going to be nice to Taz and begin things off.
Well, this is. Do you have business to take care of here?
No. Please, so whatever you want.
Moose, I beat you in here today 5 minutes, right? I beat you by 5 minutes, right? And so what happens now, dude, is, you know what Andrew does? He goes out of his way, Moose, to say good morning. Like, it's so...
Nice. Good for you.
Yeah, but hold on.
I make sure there's a witness, too.
It's so fake. Yeah, he has to make sure he does it in front of someone. He makes complete eye contact with me. I'm like...
I'd shake your hands if we could touch you.
Really, Andrew, a simple wave across the, across
the other day
cubicles,
I did that, and I was told that I didn't say hello to you.
Well, because you had such
you
a jovial
Moose, but not me.
Well, because it was so jovial when you saw Moose, like
jovial.
Hey, good morning, Moose. Jovial. That's what it was like. It was really jovial.
Yes, it was jovial.
Went to high school with his cousin Johnny Veal.
Yeah, jovial Johnny Veal. I went with Billy Veal.
Andrew, you know I don't like you.
No, all. I know. Okay, despite that,
yes.
Let's talk about the Mets.
Davis at first, two out, the 2-1. Frazier hits it high in the air, deep to left center. Back goes Marte onto the track. It is gone. A home run. Todd Frazier with a two-run homer. Over the Great Wall of Flushing, beyond the M&M sweet seats, past the 370 mark in left center field.
Brought to you by Sunoco. Howie Rose on WCBS 880 here in New York. Frazier and Jeff McNeil each went deep twice last night, while Steven Matz twirled six shutout innings for a 9-0 win over Arizona. The Mets are now two games behind the Cubs and the Brewers for that second NL wild card, which basically means they've already clinched it. Chicago, a 4-0 loss in San Diego last night. The Brewers got a 7-5 win in Miami. Now, on a serious note from this Mets win last night, and this might give some goosebumps, the Mets scored their 9 runs on 11 hits on 9/11. The team wore hats during BP to honor first responders, and Pete Alonso ordered all his teammates special cleats to wear last night as well.
Just real quick, that's wild, right? About the runs and the hits, the 9 and 11. That's really, it's kind of eerie, right? It really is. It's very eerie. I'm glad you brought that up. That's pretty wild. Yep.
The Braves down the Phillies last night 3-1. Their magic number for winning the NL East is now 8. In what would have been a meaningless Orioles 7-3 defeat of the Dodgers, Baltimore shortstop Jonathan Villar hit the 6,106th home run of this season. That breaks the single-season mark set back in just 2017. Reds Mariners wouldn't warrant a mention either, had Cincinnati righty Sonny Gray not taken a no-hitter into the 7th.
First pitch to Lewis. He swings, and it's a high fly ball carrying back, way, way back, out of the track. Irvin launching. Gone! Home run! Kyle Lewis, welcome to the show. Two hits, two homers, a three-run smash the opposite way. The first hit tonight for the Mariners in the bottom of the 7th. And he puts the Mariners in front 3-2 over the Reds.
That's Aaron Goldsmith on Mariners Radio. A lot to unpack there. Rookie Kyle Lewis breaks up the no-hit bid with a three-run homer while becoming the 24th player since 1908 to go deep for his first two career hits. Now we check on the AL wildcard chase. The Rays 6-game win streak ended in Texas 10-9. Oakland won in Houston 5-3. Cleveland a 3-game sweep at Anaheim 4-3. Tampa Bay still leads that chase, but only by a half game now over the A's, with the Indians a half game behind them. The Buccaneers and Panthers in Carolina. That's the first game of week two. Both teams looking for win number one. Kickoff is 8:20 Eastern. Chargers tight end Hunter Henry broke his left knee in Sunday's win over the Colts. He's reportedly out 4 to 6 weeks. And Raiders rookie safety Jonathan Abram will indeed have surgery for his torn labrum and rotator cuff. His season is likely over. And finally, how about some soccer? NYCFC and Toronto play to a 1-1 draw at Yankee Stadium. The New Yorkers now unbeaten in their last six. They lead the Eastern Conference by 3 points over the Philadelphia Union.
Yeah,
we'll save the horse racing drama for 7:30.
We'll do it later. Yes.
There you go.
What do you mean? It is bigger news.
I know it's big news, but Andrew did a little promotion, a little hook.
He did.
For the
very
show.
Nice. Right. To keep tuned for the next bogus
as
update.
Opposed to the stuff he upcut nice earlier in his update for
well
our
done.
Show.
Job well done, Andrew.
Yeah, exactly. Look at the run sheet, you bum. Anyway, does he know we work on a full script here? Everything we say is scripted, Moose. You know that. Every single thing.
Yes, we're all scripted all day long. Aaron Rodgers, he's done with the wave. We'll get into that next. It's Taz, it's Moose. It's a Thursday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
So there are a lot of celebrations. Our kind of, stadium experiences, Taz, especially at football games, maybe kind of during a lull in the action, lull in the game. Sometimes, you know, maybe to get the home team back into it, right, is another way to do it. You know, you've one of the things which I think gets a, an unfair knock. Because I think people think, it's 2019. Yeah. The wave.
Oh, the wave is old school. Yeah,
the wave is old school,
but
right?
But when done right, it's unbelievable.
When done right, it's got to be a packed house, building, whatever. But when you're doing the wave and it's going around a big building, top and bottom, it's pretty cool.
It is.
You know who's done with the wave?
I know, but I'll play along. Who, Moose?
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, really?
Packers quarterback.
Shocking, this guy.
Right. Aaron Rodgers has had enough of the wave. He does not want the wave. And here is Aaron Rodgers yesterday discussing that very fact. Take a listen.
My only ask is that we don't do the wave when we're on offense. Other than that, man, be as loud as you want, from the start. Hopefully nobody, says sit down anybody. I've heard that from time to time. Somebody standing up, somebody else tells them to sit down.
What?
But we'd love everybody to get up and be as loud as possible from the start. We need it.
What is he, the hearing of Superman?
He's hearing the guy. How's that?
The guy's in the fifth row. Someone's telling him to sit down. Rodgers.
Front.
Yeah, right. Rodgers is basically paying attention to all that. My follow up would be, why? So you'd rather the home crowd be screaming at the top of their lungs when you're on offense, but you hate seeing the wave.
Dude, he's got to be joking, no? He's got to be.
It didn't sound like he was joking.
So what happens when they go, they're home, I'm looking at it. They're playing the Cowboys week 5, okay? So you go to Dallas. If I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, and I'll tell you what, or if I'm a Dallas Cowboy, a radio host that have a good reach to the Dallas Cowboy fan, I'm a fan myself, let's say, I'm going to say when the Packers come to town, make sure when the Packers are on offense,
you do the wave.
You do the wave. Because you know it's going to tick him off because he said it, unless he's joking, unless it's maybe optically, it distracts him. You're Aaron Rodgers. You're distracted by the wave, bro.
Why are you focused on fans going out there and doing the wave? And like I mentioned, I think the wave gets unfairly knocked.
Yeah, it's hard. You know why?
I think it gets unfairly knocked. I think people love to. Aaron Rodgers not alone. I know a lot of guys that think the wave's stupid. I would never be. Yeah.
Have you ever been part of the wave?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I never have.
Old Yankee Stadium. It's been a while. Yeah, but Old Yankee Stadium, I think.
It's a little harder at baseball games. It's disjointed.
A little harder,
right.
A little disjointed, but it was a packed house. Old Giant Stadium.
Oh, that's a waveable spot right there.
Right. Yeah. Old Giant Stadium, not MetLife.
Right,
Old
Giant Stadium.
Yep.
See, my problem with the wave, I've never been part of it, but I know why. I think it's awesome, and I'd love to be part of it. The thing I don't like about it is I got to get up.
I understand.
You know what I mean? I'm sitting there eating a couple of hot dogs. Yeah, but if I'm eating at a game, no, I'm not athletic because I'm eating a lot of really bad sausage, kielbasa, sushi, all sorts of French fries. Now I got to get up. I got a milkshake in my hand. You know, at games. That's only how I eat
it.
At games.
I get it. So you don't want to rise up out of your seat at that stage. I could understand.
I would do this. My hand, look, my hand.
If you're eating food, I could understand that.
Just put my hand up. Like that.
But you like the premise of the wave. You don't like taking part of the wave, even though you've never been a part of it. But you like the premise, the idea of the wave.
Big thing in the wrestling
Rogers
business.
Rogers hates it.
The WWE had, dude, in arenas, it happens a lot. Some towns in wrestling, WWE's live, they'll do the wave. Like,
really?
And it could, and it takes away from the action in the ring. So Vince McMahon years ago, he's like, let's embrace this. And he would have the announcers point it out or have fun with it. Instead of ignoring it, you can't miss it. You're in an arena. You know, it's not like a football game.
I've never seen it in an arena.
Yeah, WWE, it's happened. I can't think of towns. I know LA once it happened, the Staples Center when I was there. I remember that. And it's happened.
Cool.
It happens a lot. Yeah, no, it's cool. I mean, people having fun.
It's going to bother you if you're a wrestler in the ring and people are more focused on making sure you time the wave properly rather than watching the action in the ring. It also tells you about
your
the
match.
Action that's going on in the ring.
You're a little boring.
Yeah, well,
exactly. All kidding aside, you know what you do? I pull the curtain back. When that happens, like if people start doing the wave or if they start chanting, boring, boring, you know what you do, what veterans do? You take the guy down and you put a hold on. And that's the old gimmick. You want to see boring? I'll show you boring. You want to do the wave? Do the wave all night. I'll keep this guy in a rear chin lock. We'll stay here all day, Moose.
Really?
That's what you do. You don't. Rookies, young guys, what they do is they speed up the action. They get nervous. Then you're letting the audience control you.
That's interesting. I didn't think about it like that.
It's a veteran
and then when, thing. Does it reach a breach where you're like, I have to do something here?
No, I've had it. I've had it happen to me where people are chanting boring. I was wrestling up in Boston, and it was a house show. It was a non-televised event. I don't know who I was wrestling, and they started chanting boring. Matt, we were having really a stink fest. And so I took whoever it was down. I don't know if it was Bob Holly, who it was, and I put him in an arm bar. And I said, we're staying right here, bro. He goes, you're right. You're damn right. Because he's a veteran, too. You don't let them control the action. Yeah. You champ on all night.
Did it stop?
Then eventually it did. And then we went to work.
Oh, there you go.
That's what you do.
Very nice. That's cool.
That's a little old school.
That's pretty cool.
I like the wave. I didn't know you were part of a wave. That's interesting.
A long time ago. I'm not talking about like 5 years ago.
Yeah, I don't pitch you now, like going to a game doing the wave. It is Mark Belushi doing a wave.
The kids would be
in. Is that Moose doing a wave?
Yeah, exactly.
Nibon S and why that guy?
Yeah, exactly right. There he is with another beer doing the wave.
Spilling the beer
right,
all
exactly
over.
Exactly right.
That's Moose, right? What the hell's he doing?
But Rodgers wants no part. I agree with you. Now, if I'm taking on the Packers, the one thing I want to do a wave constantly throughout the course of the game.
No doubt about it.
Good news for the NFL, though, Taz, as we've discussed, you know, years gone by, past couple years, the fact that ratings maybe have dipped a little bit for the NFL. 5% raise, not a huge raise, but a 5% increase in ratings week one as compared to week one 2018. You know where the real spike was? How about this? 43% spike in digital for the National Football League.
I did not know any of that.
As compared to last year.
That does not shock me, but there
you
go.
That's a huge spike in terms of for the National Football League.
You said 40?
43%.
Jeez, I didn't know.
That's a monumental spike.
That shows you something, right?
Well, I mean, what it would show me, Taz, is that there are more cord cutters out there.
Exactly.
What it show me is that people are basically doing they're paying for what they want instead of paying for everything.
And they're pulling their content in of NFL on this. I'm holding my iPhone up,
good
ladies
point.
And gentlemen. That's
right.
What they're doing.
Yeah.
They're either
or watching on their iPad or whatever tablet they have.
I thought my son, you know, big NFL fan, he I don't remember the last time he sat down and watched a game. He watches clips. Of you know, he watches clips on his phone. That's what he does.
I can understand that.
And a lot of his friends do the same thing. You know,
Guys that they still have the TV, but also have the iPad up, and they're watching another game on the iPad while they have their main game on the big screen TV.
Triple dipping Jones.
So there you have it. A good week one across the board for the National Football League, Taz. That's a positive there. Two quarterbacks with enormous pressure on them meet up tonight. Thursday night action, Taz. We'll get into that. Carolina, Tampa. Taz, Moose. Week two's already here. CBS Sports Radio.